Okay, for a message, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Revelation in chapter 2. I'd like to read the words of Jesus here to the church of Smyrna, starting in verse 8 through verse 11 of Revelation 2. In verse 8 it says, And unto the angel of a church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I'd like to especially focus on verse 10, the phrase there, be thou faithful unto death. I've titled the message this morning, Faithfulness. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So we look at faithfulness, we look at being faithful here. It is saying, you know, he doesn't say be thou faithful for part of your life, or be thou faithful until you're 50 or 60, or be thou faithful until you're 80 or 90 or 100 or whatever. He says, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There, you know, this is a promise from God, from Jesus Christ. But the condition is that we have to be faithful. So I'd like to look at this morning about the definition of faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? Here some time ago, out on 54, the Pentecostal church there on the sign, it said, asked a question, if God were as faithful to you as you are to him, would you be satisfied? That caught my eye and, you know, made my mind spin. I was thinking about that. Well, absolutely not. I would not be satisfied. You think about that. If God were as faithful to me as what I am to him, of course I would not be satisfied. Because why? God is God. And I'm a mere man. So there's no way that I can be as faithful to God as what God is to me. Because when you look at God, and if he would only be as faithful to me as I am to him, then he would not be God. The Bible says that God is love. You know, the Bible doesn't just say that God loves, you know, but that God is love. That God is good. God doesn't just love you because God loves, but he loves you because that's who he is. God is love. You know, God cannot do anything but love because he is love in that sense. I mean, of course, God hates sin. God hates evil. Although the Bible does say that God creates evil. That he says that in the Old Testament, that I create evil. We think of God. God is truth, so God cannot lie. We think of us as human beings. We are not love. We are not truth. So therefore, we can be unfaithful. We can fail. But God is truth. God is love. So God cannot fail. Because that's who he is. The Bible says that God cannot even be tempted with evil, even though he created evil. And he says he does not tempt any man. Neither he cannot be tempted with evil, neither doth he tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The Bible says of God that I am the Lord, I change not. Faithfulness. You know, how would it be if God would be changing? He would be this way today and that way tomorrow. I would not be satisfied with a God like that. Absolutely not. You know, I have enough struggle with doubt the way it is. When I think about a God that does not change, a God that cannot change, a God that cannot be unfaithful, I have enough struggle with having doubts in a God like that. So if God were different and if God could fail, how much more would I struggle with doubt with a God like that? I want my faith, I want my God to be a God that cannot change, that cannot fail, that I know that my faith is secure in a God that cannot fail, a God that is faithful. You know, because I am human, I fail. I have been unfaithful. That is why I need a faithful God. A God that cannot fail. A God that I can go to in repentance and seek forgiveness and seek restoration and reconciliation. A God to forgive me and to lift me back up and to give me power, to give me might to continue on. You know, I need God's grace to span that difference, that gap that is left because of my humanity, because of my weakness. And if God would be like me, then I would have no hope. So therefore, I need a faithful God. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." His compassions, his love to his children does not fail. We look at some Bible characters. Look at the life of Noah. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham, the Bible refers to him as faithful Abraham. God said that I know that he will command his children after him. What made these people faithful? Were they actually faithful? Why does the Bible say faithful Abraham? Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of God? What is it that we're looking for, that God is looking for, when he says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life"? When God looks down and he sees the weakness of humanity, what is God looking for? What is faithfulness from us to God? We know we cannot be God. Lucifer tried that, and we see where he is today. Another Bible character is Joseph. We would look at Joseph as a faithful man. And Daniel. When Daniel's enemies tried to find fault with him, they looked high and low and they couldn't find fault. And it says that he was faithful in everything that he did. That said there wasn't any error or fault that they could find in him. That's how faithful he was. And they said, "We're not going to find a fault with him except we find it with his God." And they set the trap for him. The Apostle Paul. We look up to him as a faithful apostle. A man that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes when we read obituaries, it says he or she was a faithful member of so-and-so church. What does it mean to be faithful? A faithful member. Are you a faithful member this morning? Can you be a faithful member by coming to church every Sunday morning, by coming to prayer meeting whenever it's a prayer meeting, by taking your turn going to prison service, by your sisters coming to the sewing? Does that make you a faithful member? We look at the Pharisees. It says that they loved to pray their long prayers, standing on the street corners. They made broad their phylacteries. They wanted to be seen of men. Well, the people, the church people that day, more than likely would have looked at the Pharisees as faithful leaders. There possibly were some that saw through the hypocrisy. And of course, Jesus, knowing their hearts, he exposed the hypocrisy. And he blurted it out. He said it in front of the people, of how these people, these faithful people, if you will, were actually unfaithful people. So no, coming to church every Sunday morning, coming to prayer meeting, doesn't make you a faithful member. But being a faithful member will bring you to church on Sunday morning when you can. It'll bring you to prayer meeting Wednesday evening when you can. What is the difference? The difference is on the inside. That is where faithfulness comes from. Faithfulness doesn't come from, Brother Simon talked in our class about, you know, putting on our best clothes and coming to church to glorify Christ. Well, yeah, that could be a part of faithfulness. We want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. But it has to come from the inside. It has to come because we are born again, because of the part that God put within us, that we have become partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, that we are born again, that we have been justified, and we are walking, we are abiding in Jesus Christ, we are walking in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love him. It has to do with loving the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You know, and then you do those things because you love him. But you know, the thing is, if you're here this morning and you find yourself not loving the Lord, it doesn't mean that you should quit coming to church or coming to prayer meeting, or you should quit having your devotions, but that you should repent. And that you should be reconciled and be restored and be forgiven so that you can love. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. You know, you don't have the love of the Lord Jesus within your carnal makeup. But it is a gift that God gives you when he puts a part of himself inside you when you are born again. That love, the love of God. God is love. Yes, faithfulness has much more to do than just showing up for church Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. There's a lot more to it than that. It's a life of repentance, a life of recognizing my weakness. You know, that's why we look at the Apostle Paul as a faithful apostle, because he recognized his weakness. He said that when I am weak, then am I strong. And he had just got done being told by the Lord Jesus that my grace is sufficient for thee. That his strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, that's why the Jews were dull of hearing, because they thought they were strong. They thought they had it together, and they did not. Faithfulness is a life of recognizing my weakness, my need, a life of submission, a life of brokenness, a life of surrender to the will of God. It is obedience. It is keeping on, keeping on. Not just part of the way, not just for 20 years, 10 years, or 15, or 30, but until the end, as it says here, unto death. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's what the scripture says. You know, you cannot expect to receive the crown if you only run the race halfway, or even 90% of the way, or 99, but 100% of the way until you reach the finish line. And God himself only knows when that is. I like what it says in the bulletin here, along with that, the thing of keeping on. This story of the painter that was painting in spite of his pain. He said that the beauty remains and the pain passes. You know, doesn't that describe the life of a Christian? We talked about in Sunday school about wanting an easy life. And that is within us, within our carnal nature. We want an easy life. We want a paradise on earth. But you know, the beauty of a Christian life is actually in the suffering, in the tribulation. You know, we could tend to think that God is mean or cruel to us by allowing tribulation, by allowing difficulties to come in our lives. But that is not. God sees the beauty. The beauty of a heart that is broken, that is surrendered, and that turns to him in repentance and forgiveness, and is reconciled, is restored, and worships. The beauty of holiness. That is faithfulness. To keep on keeping on. To keep on in spite of the pain, in spite of the difficulty, because of that little spark, that love of God within. To keep on keeping on, because I love the Lord Jesus with all of my heart. Because I love him too much to give up. Because I love him too much to be unfaithful and to go after these other things that want my attention. The things that Satan makes look so alluring, so appealing. I love the Lord too much to be unfaithful and to go after those things. And when I fail, when I trip, and the Spirit speaks to me, faithfulness is to repent and to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just messed up. Would you please forgive me? That is faithfulness. Faithfulness comes from the inside out. And I think that goes hand in hand with what it says in Ephesians, that by grace are you saved through faith, not of works that any man should boast, but you are created unto good works. You are created to live for him. You are created to obey him. It's talking about a person that is born again. A person that has a new life in Christ. As it says here in the bulletin, you know, hang on to Christ. Hang on one more day. One day at a time. Rejoice in tribulation. That last quote there, it says, we are all faced with great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. As I pondered that this morning, I was wondering, who disguised the opportunity? Now, we know that Satan would want to disguise an opportunity, because he doesn't want us to seize the moment. He doesn't want us to have the opportunity. But I wonder if it's not more often than not, it's God who does the disguising of the opportunity. Because God wants us to have faith. And he disguised the great opportunity as an impossible situation, because he wants us to have faith. He wants us to grow. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2 says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." A steward is somebody that has been entrusted with the possessions of his master. And that is where you and I are today. We have been entrusted with the things that God has given us. We are stewards of the things that God has given us. Stewards of the gospel. Stewards of the manifold grace of God. And it is required that a man be found faithful. So I would like to say this morning that you cannot be found faithful. You cannot be faithful as a steward of God unless you realize your need, your weakness. You know, if you think you've got it together and you think you can be a good steward of God, the possessions of God, then you're going to fail. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." You can only be faithful when you realize that you need God, that you need the Lord Jesus. That is the only way. It's only in his strength that you can be strong. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Proverbs 14:5, "A faithful witness will lie, but a faithful witness will not lie," I think is what I should say, "but a false witness will utter lies." Proverbs 20, verse 6, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Proverbs 28:20. I'd like to read Psalms 89, the first 18 verses. Speaking of God's faithfulness. In verse 1, Psalm 89, it says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Just bringing out the faithfulness of who God is, that there is no other, that God alone is God, and God alone is faithful. Revelation 17, verse 14 says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." So again, these faithful are faithful because they recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they recognize that they must bow to him. and they must allow him to have his rightful place. That is faithfulness, to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to recognize our need of him and surrender our will for his will. Let's kneel for prayer.